Songs are always good, aren't they? Songs that mean something. And I was just thinking that last one that we, how can I fear? He's always near. Ron Hamilton. He's up there. He's seen everything he's written about, seen things that he never even dreamed about, and gave us so many songs that ministered to our hearts. And that was one of those good ones. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer once again as we take this time to change from the music to the ministry of God's word to our hearts. Father, we do thank you that we can trust you and there is no cause for fear when we are trusting you. And I just pray that as we have come this evening, you would work in our hearts. I pray that you would enable me to preach your word in the Spirit, and that I would convey the truth of it, and that you might be glorified. We thank you that we have this treasure. We pray that we would be attentive to what you have for us tonight. In your name I pray. Take your Bibles and turn. Oh, sorry, Andrew. I forget you more than I remember you, don't I? Let's call this one Without Exception. Without Exception. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And I would like us to think about verses 16 through 20. Let's look at these verses. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will hear me, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, not his mercy from me. Reality in one's relationship with God is a contagious thing. When it's there, it's hard to hide. When it's not, it's hard to fake. It's safe to say that one of the features of a person's relationship with God is this matter of answered prayer. Isn't it exciting to hear others relate how God is answering prayer? It was no accident that Emily just shared her testimony about how God answered prayer. She didn't know what I was preaching. I didn't tell her, but I could not have said it better as far as sharing an up-to-date experience of how, when there were great needs and great concerns and great trials and great difficulties, God answered prayer. Does he answer your prayer? Ever wonder if anyone is listening when you pray? How come for some there's great answers to prayer, and for others, they look for those answers? I want us to consider an important truth regarding the heart today in the text that we have looked at this evening. For you note takers, let's call number one his enthusiastic invitation. His enthusiastic invitation. Come and hear, all you that fear God. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Now, in the verses leading up to verse 16, the psalmist had reviewed God's greatness, his power, and some of the mighty works that he had performed for the nation of Israel. You can check those out later on in those earlier 15 verses. Even in those first 15 verses, he even shared some hard times that the Israelites had gone through, yet they had experienced God's faithfulness to them. And toward the end of the psalm, we sense his eagerness to tell about what God had done for him. He had talked about the nation of Israel. But by the time we get to these closing verses, you can sense his eagerness to tell what God had done for him personally. Is God doing anything for you personally? Verse 16, 17, we just read those a moment ago. Come, hear, I'll declare what he hath done for my soul. It wasn't the nation of Israel that he wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about what he's done for me. I hope you have the kind of a relationship with the Lord that you can talk about things that God is doing for you. How refreshing to hear someone relate how God is working in their lives, especially how he is answering prayer. And as I said, Emily's testimony was prompted by the Spirit of the Lord. I believe that. Because she stood and testified of her need. She stood and testified how, due to the prayers of God's people, God had answered prayer in their behalf. What a blessing to hear how, when there's needs, God answers prayer. Again, I'm asking, is he answering prayer for you? You say, well, yeah, sometimes. Seldom. Occasionally,
Does he answer prayer regularly?
What could be the difference? What could be the difference? Before the psalmist shares with us how God answers his prayer, we move from his enthusiastic invitation in verses 16 and 17 to an important principle in verse 18. An important principle to what? Answered prayer. The psalmist lays out for us this non-negotiable, unchangeable condition. Non-negotiable, unchangeable. We've been sputtering in our circles the last couple of days about the governor of New Mexico who has issued this 30-day restriction of anyone having handguns, whether they're concealed or open display. And the thing that really I thought knocked the socks off of the whole thing was the governor's response to, when we talk about somebody restricting our right to possess or carry arms, what always comes to our mind? What? Second Amendment of the Constitution. That's our right, isn't it? According to our founding fathers. Jerry, I don't remember her quote, but her quote was regarding, and this governor said she's expecting all kinds of lawsuits. She does not care because in her eyes, her mind, what? Turn around and say it. Can't remember exactly the words. All right. We say that Constitution and the things that are written there are these words I'm talking about here. This principle, it's non-negotiable. Is the possession and the right to bear arms negotiable according to the Constitution? Is it an unchangeable right that is ours? Or do we have the right to change it? Here it is.
No constitutional right, in my view, this is the governor speaking, including my oath, is intended to be absolute.
No constitutional what?
Right.
Or her oath is intended to be absolute. In other words, what she's saying, there are no what?
No absolutes.
No absolutes. So if one governor can get away with this in New Mexico, you can bet your bottom dollar that there's going to be others that are going to be jumping on the bandwagon. As we know, our president has been working, leading our country in the direction of what? Socialism, so that we one day will be like the European countries, like the nation of Canada, where the private citizen does not have the right. And that's the direction many of our politicians are trying to move our country toward. So as we look at this, here we find the psalmist has laid out what in his mind is a non-negotiable, unchangeable condition which affects
prayers being answered or not being answered? What is it? Look at verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord what? Might not hear me. Is that what it says? It says he will not hear me. Regard. What does he mean when he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart? If you look in a concordance, this is a root word which actually the root meaning is to see. If I see iniquity in my heart, but actually this word is translated 20, 30 different ways in our Bible. It's not one of those that is always translated the same way. So it comes from the root word meaning to see. If I see that there's sin in my heart, don't expect the Lord to answer your prayer. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 17, 16 and 17. 1 Chronicles 17, 16 and 17. We'll see some other places where this word regard is used as the root word intends to see something or to observe or be aware of. Verse 16, and David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that you have brought me hitherto or to this point? And yet this was a small thing in thine eyes, O God, for thou hast also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. In the previous verses, God had laid out to David God's intention for David's descendants and those that would be coming after him. And he said, you've spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come and hast regarded me or seen me according to the estate of a man of high degree, O Lord God. David is humbled. And he said, Lord, I don't know what caused you to bless me the way you have, because you have laid out all of these promised blessings in the future, many of which have not yet come to pass. And he said, you regard me, you see me as somebody that's really important, somebody that's really something. I just started out a shepherd boy. We see it as well in Psalm 106, verses 40 through 44. This same usage of regard as it's speaking about seeing or being aware of. Verse 40 of Psalm 106, therefore, was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, that they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under his hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel,
and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. He saw their troubles. He regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Well, let's look at some. We've seen how this is used in those references, but let's learn some more when we look at some other ways that this word regard is used in Scripture. For instance, Psalm 138, verse 6. Let's see how it's used here. Psalm 138, verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Here's one of the ways that gives us a little more insight when, as we think of our key verse, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What's our word here in verse 6 of 138? It's having respect unto. Though the Lord be high, yet he has respect. He regards, he sees, he's aware of the lowly ones. But the proud, he doesn't pay any attention to them. So it's to have respect unto, to be aware of. Here's a couple of others. For instance, a second usage, a different way this word is used. Exodus 2:25. Exodus 2:25 tells us this. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. And I bet you say, well, that's the same word that has respect unto them. No, it's not the same word. What would the word be used as in this 25th verse? It is to what? To look upon. To look at. It's a different word, to have respect unto them. So God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. This was before the calling of Moses. Look at 4:31 of Exodus. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped him. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I look upon iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Numbers 21, verse 8. Numbers 21, verse 8. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he does what? Looks upon. When he regards, when he looks at that serpent on that pole, he'll live. Same word, just used differently. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. So here we see our word, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I see there's sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But we've given it some other, if I have respect to, if I look at, and one third one, and we could, like I say, we could give you many, many more, but here's one more variation of it to help us understand what our text verse is. Psalm 113, and let's look at verses 5 and 6. 113, 5 and 6. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? Can you guess what our word is here? Behold. The Lord is so high, so holy, so majestic, that he has to humble himself to observe not only the things that are on the earth, I can understand that, but the psalmist said he also has to humble himself to observe the things that are where? Even in heaven. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That's pretty mighty. That's pretty holy. So he has to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and things in the earth. And a few weeks ago, when our brother Snowberger was here, he preached in the book of Habakkuk, and I just lost him. You ever lose those little rascals? They just slide back and forth in that Old Testament range. One day they're there, one day they're not. Anyway, I found him. I finally got him cornered. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "Behold, or thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." And as our brother shared, the question the prophet was asking, why are you looking upon these who are dealing treacherously, and you're holding your tongue, you're not saying anything, when the wicked devours the individuals that are more righteous than they are? The prophet was stumped with it. Lord, I know you can't look on iniquity, but you're not doing anything. You're not saying anything. And here's our word. The important principle, non-negotiable, unchangeable. If I regard iniquity, what's that? Sin. It's evil. It's mischief. It is unrighteousness. It is vanity. It is wickedness. They all come under the heading of iniquity. If I know it's there, if I see it, if I have respect unto it, yeah, I know it's there, but if I behold it, if I look at it, perhaps we might suggest, and we might better understand it if we would modernize the King James a little bit and put it this way. Rather than if I regard iniquity in my heart, what about if I overlook iniquity in my heart? How about excuse iniquity in my heart? Well, nobody's what? Oh, you've used that one too, huh? If I ignore it, yeah, I know it's there and I'll get around to it, but I don't want to be bothered about it right now. What the psalmist is referring to in this 18th verse of our text here in Psalm 66 is very simply, he is referring to known sin in our heart. Known sin in our heart. If I regard iniquity, I know it's there. It's true, no one is perfect. There is such a thing as sins of ignorance, and in the Old Testament law, it talks about bringing offerings for sins that are committed in ignorance. God was a gracious God, and he provided for people doing something wrong, and they didn't even realize they were doing something wrong. When they became aware of it, here was the appropriate sacrifice they were to bring to the priest. There is such a thing as sins of ignorance, but here, what is it? It's this. I see it. I know it's there. But. Among some of the things that can occur, if that's the way we're dealing with sin, here's one of the things that will be a result of, if you, I know the sin is there, one of the results is, in our text, God will not hear. God will not listen. God will not answer. Go back to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Here the prophet says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Same principle. Isaiah said there's nothing wrong with God's power. He's not on vacation. He's not on a coffee break. His hand is not, his power is not limited. God can do whatever he chooses to at any time. And there's nothing wrong with his hearing. Mine's gone bad. I wear dumb things in my ears to try to help me when I'm talking to you. And boy, they sure don't work very well. There's nothing wrong with God's hearing. And here the psalm or the prophet is saying, do you wonder what is going on? Here's what's wrong. Your sins have come between you and God. He will not listen.
to your prayer. He will not be concerned about helping you out until what? Until you confess. Until you admit. Until you turn from. A familiar verse is 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Often this one we've heard quoted at around the 4th of July. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then get this, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Until you or I are ready to confess and turn from the known sin, the known iniquity, bottom line is, don't waste your breath praying, because God will not hear. Let's conclude number 3 in verses 19 and 20 of our text, and let's see his candid testimony. His candid testimony in verses 19 and 20. Remember his excitement in verses 16 and 17. Let me tell you what God has done for my soul, how he's heard me, how he's answered his prayer. He gave that important, non-negotiable, unchanging principle. If I ignore, if I don't do anything about the sin in my heart, God will not hear me. But when we get to 19 and 20, he gives us his candid testimony, and 19 and 20 says, but verily God hath what? Heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. What was his candid testimony? God did hear, God did answer, and it is a testimony of the condition of David's heart. God listened. God answered my prayer. So in light of what we've looked at this evening, what does that mean about David and sin in his heart? It means he had done what? Huh? He had confessed it. He had admitted it to the Lord. He had turned from it. And he had seen God answer his prayer. Can you say the same thing? Are you seeing God work in your life? Is he answering the prayers you bring to him? While there are other factors involving God answering prayer, without exception, God will not hear when we overlook known sin. Let's stand for our closing prayer, shall we? You say, well, what are those other factors, Pastor? Wouldn't be to his glory? Wasn't his way? Wasn't his timing? There are all kinds of factors that can contribute to him not answering our prayer, but without exception, this one will never fail. You'll never see answered prayer if we take sin lightly in our lives. Father, help us to
Take this to heart, believe it, and act upon it to your glory. Dismiss us now with your blessing on us as we go our way. In your name we pray. Amen.